Wild Flower and Barley by To Burn All the Empires from Rare Pairs 2024. A competition run on the Homestuck Fan Author Coalition server. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of Andrew Hussey.
There are a few things that can surprise J. Lynn Bailey English anymore. Watching the world be destroyed will do that to you. The last time she was pleasantly surprised was 8 years ago, when she caught a twig of a granddaughter in the middle of a row in the hay with the stable hand she hired to clean the cow dung off her pen. That arrogant lash she found after 4 weeks of her stealing her verdure off her property. When she found Miss Empora doing that, she was still a lad back then, with broken glasses, held together with lots and lots of tape. Poor thing, nearly shat herself when she'd seen the burly woman with the mane of dark gray hair holding a shotgun to her face. Jade Lynn took pity on her, same way she took pity on everyone. Erden was barely 100 pounds, soaking wet, was only carrying the clothes on her back. Now for the jackass man she'd been traveling with had decided to double-cross her. He'd been dead set on presenting her to the beach cult that had formed on the coast of the valley, who'd been paying people their body weight in water in exchange for anyone that they could bring to them to spend the rest of their days in indebted servitude. In many ways, Eridan was the worst worker that Jade Lynn ever had the misfortune of hiring. She was a good boss. Gave everyone under her watch room and food and more survival training than they'd get everywhere else. Even the clowns sent people to her whenever they needed someone to learn the ins and outs of surviving in the wilderness. Eridan, however, had never worked a day in her life before coming here, her hands as soft as the skin of a babe's butt. She was prone to tantrums whenever something she was doing didn't come out the way she'd been expecting it to. Still, Jade Lynn did her best to get through to her. Took a few months, an entire winter after half the crops had failed, having caught the same deadly virus that made the entire world go to shit, cooped up inside her trailer cabin with her and the rest of the family, for Eridan to finally open up to him. To admit the real reason why she'd been kicked out of every group and community that she'd ever encountered. Everything had been her own fault, she'd insisted, and having heard the story, Jade Lynn had to agree. Nevertheless, she'd insisted to Ari, anyone was allowed a second or third or even a fourth chance, provided they put in the elbow grease to better themselves now, of course. And that Ari had to know that whatever had happened before they had met, Jade Lynn would never hold it against her. Eridan smiled brightly at that, and Jade Lynn had just thought that the kid looked young. Incredibly young for someone who'd made such harrowing mistakes. And so Eridan had spent 2 years working under her, even getting some of the metal ingots that pass as a currency nowadays for her to save up and make something of herself once she was ready to go. In those 2 years, Eridan let her hair grow, as her hands went from soft to calloused. And the faint freckles she'd come in with grew into deep constellations over the bridge of her nose. She'd taken to working the land and hunting for big game as a fish did water, and to this day, Jade Lynn don't think she'd ever trained a more proficient markswoman. Jade, her daughter, even complimented the girl on the time she came to see her mom. Her spouse, D.S., and her came twice a year to check up on the old wolf, to stock up on provisions for the long journeys they took far away from the valley. D.S.'s younger twin siblings, Dave and Rose, make a life out of venturing deep into the mountains and coming back with whatever they can find, selling it to the people of the settlements of the valley. It's tough work, as one can imagine, and they rely on their vehicles to haul back the cargo. But it pays well for them and their children, though D.S. and Jade's are all grown now. Laura, her granddaughter, as she's mentioned, had become smitten with Eridan as soon as they'd met each other. Seeing in her a cooler older sister who'd gone beyond the valley and seemed to know everything, Lara's puppy dog crush on the girl was apparent to anyone. Eridan didn't reciprocate at first, seemingly looking for love with everyone but the person who did love her. After 2 spectacular breakups, Eridan was dejected and never found a partner, which made Lara finally give up and kiss her, which still hadn't clued Eridan in on the fact that she held such amorous feelings for her. You're happy for the two? You really are. They now make a living transcribing texts they find in the flooded areas of the ruins, rescuing books and computers and taking them to Laura's Aunt Roxanne and her husband Solic so they could fix them somewhat. Still, I don't mean you won't have preferred to have found out about their relationship in literally any other way than the aforementioned role in the hand. Jesus Christ, Laura Jean, put your pants back on. Point is, Jay Lynn is old now. Kind of old, you feel in your joints and your sagging breasts. In the calmness that inundates you from time to time as you stare at your family around you because you've had a long life, a good life. If she were to fall dead right this instant after choking on a peach pit, same way her old friend Simon Earl Nitram went well. She thinks she'd be quite happy with that. This is where things end for her. But she still has a lot of fire left in her, don't be mistaken. And so she aims her shotgun at the stranger in her property once again. Because this is how she goes around meeting most of the people in her life. Little Jade showed up 3 decades ago, stumbled into the ravine of the small oasis of pumpkins and ivy that her soon-to-be mama built, and she'd been so marveled by it that she'd fallen asleep right there between the leaves. Beck the First had found her, had sniffed at her, giggling child laughing herself away because it tickles. Jade Lynn had taken a look at the kid, with her big green eyes that reminded her of her own, and had decided that she was going to be hers right there and then, if no one in the next month showed up to claim the child. Jade had grown and moved out, and then she'd had children of her own, who'd grown up and moved away too. Perhaps the trailer felt more alone now than ever before, without Laura or Aridin or Matuna there. Keep life interesting. Perhaps Jade Lynn's bones aren't what they were before. She feels the aches in her back that make it difficult to pick up boxes and heavy tools now, making it harder to run the farm ever since her last employee moved out months ago. Perhaps she's lying to DS and Jay when she tells them that she's okay, she can handle all this herself, that they don't have to stay around and help. Perhaps Jay Lynn was just waiting, hoping to run into another stranger stealing from her once again because she'd always had a knack for turning the would-be thieves into friends. That's how the wilds worked for the people of the valley. How it was for everyone left alive after the verdant cataclysm. Couldn't take without giving something back, not anymore. So when she grabbed her shotgun and went out in the middle of the day after someone or something had triggered her alarm systems, she didn't bring any rounds with her. Most people usually get the memo when she showed up with the gun anyway. She was expecting, well, a person. She didn't get a person. Or, well, she wasn't a person yet anyway, merely a feral body keeping itself alive out of instinct and spite. The crouched woman had long limbs and harrowing golden eyes. She had scars over her hands and ankles, thick rings of mangled skin that hadn't quite healed right, and a mop of matted dark brown hair that looked like it had been shaved off months ago. She was on the ground of her pen, blood coursing out of the injured cow she was feasting on, sinking her thick white fangs into the carotid artery of the poor thing. What the fuck? Jay Lynn thought to herself, too shocked to utter words, really. The woman hissed at her. Her deep brown skin was caked in mud and dirt, and she moved like a predator. Jay Lynn's survival instincts kicked in. And even if she was no longer in peak physical performance, she hauled ass back to the trailer like her life depended on it. It did. The creature trailed after her, running on all fours, her nails extending out from her toes and fingers like talons, Jesus above. Jade Lynn entered her home, not even bothering to close the door, the thing entered behind her. She grabbed the shells from the counter and put them inside her gun. The creature let out a blood-piercing scream. Jade Lynn took aim. And without even bothering to check, she blasted the wretched being's mid-thorax to kingdom come. The woman fell to the ground, dark blood oozing out of the wound like liquid ink. Jade Lynn stared at the corpse. She let out a curse about how the hell she was going to get that stain off the carpet, sighed, and then went to pour herself a drink. When she come back, the body was twitching. She raised the gun again but didn't shoot. Body let out a pitiful sound like the wounded animal it was, and once again, Jade Lynn took pity on it. because she took pity on everyone, damn it. That's how she found Beck the first through fifth, nursing them back to health and full strength. Why everything continued flourishing in her garden while the rest of the land remained barren. Jay Lynn put the gun down and kneeled next to the body. The woman's eyes were glassy, but her guts were moving, restitching themselves from the looks of it. If incredibly slowly, she had a pulse. Those 3 beats per minute. And her bony hand clasped Jade Lynn's when she put her fingers around it. Well, fuck, Jade Lynn thought. Jade and DS are going to kick my ass for this one. The woman let out a little screech, like that of a fallen bird. Her body was covered in cuts and scars, and oh God, burn marks, branding marks even. Well, I'm an adult woman. And what Jade and DS don't know won't kill him. Jaylen nodded to herself, decided. She put the woman's arm around her, and though it was killing her lower back, she dragged her all the way into one of the spare rooms. You had to take responsibility for the lives you took. That was the law that ruled the wilds, as well as for those you saved. Looking after the woman is tough work, mainly because she keeps waking up screaming and trying to crawl her way out of the trailer at least twice a day. Jaylen don't care. She hauls her back to the cot every time, under the nest of pillows and blankets the woman built around herself. Jaylen has no idea why she did that. Perhaps due to some deeply ingrained instinct to generate nesting piles. As for Jaylen, no. It's the first time looking after an undead. She thinks she's an undead. Everything about the woman is mysterious. She had nothing on her, as Jade Lynn mentioned, and outside of their first meeting, there haven't been any more incidents. The woman's long fangs retracted back into the cavities of her mouth, leaving her with normal-sized canines. Her flesh continued to heal. Jade Lynn could see it working its carnous magic onto itself. To Jade Lynn, a well-trained hunter who knew how to gut and skin animals, watching the process essentially reverse itself was nothing short of breathtaking. The woman herself was breathtaking. Once she'd regained some strength, first thing she'd done was open her eyes a little and move her hands towards Jade Lynn's, where they were putting clean bandages around her wound. The touch was feather light, but unmistakable for what it was, when paired up with the words coming out from the woman's mouth. Thank you. Jade Lynn watched her. When she was not doing her daily tasks, checking up on the poor calf the woman had nearly devoured to make sure it was healing nicely, or tending to the fields in what was the middle of the warm season, she watched the woman. Watched the way she curled up around herself, furrowing her delicate brows in a distressed slumber. Watched her curl up her arms around one of the pillows, pressing it against her chest, her grip strong enough to leave holes in the fabric. She was something else, all right. She didn't seem to need to eat. But she did do it. And not only blood, which made Jade Lynn start to question her theory that this woman was a blood-sucking vampire. The woman preferred meat. She sank her mouth into the bloody slices of venison hindquarters that Jade Lynn fed her, her teeth tearing through the fibrous flesh like she was born to be such a carnivore. But she also ate the slices of roasted greens that Jade Lynn presented her with, ate the soft lettuce and crunchy celery, and moaned when the aubergine juice hit her tongue. She asked for more of it, more of the peppered and salted vegetables that Jade Lynn grew in the hydroponics greenhouse, and started crying when she tasted the Bailey English pumpkin pie for the first time. Thank you. The woman told Jade Lynn again and again throughout the weeks, you don't know what I've been through. The sorts of hells I had to drag myself out of until my nails grew bloody with the pieces of coarse dirt stuck below them. You don't owe me this kindness, sister, so thank you. Jade Lynn, whose heart had never grown hard even after staring the end of time straight in the eyes, just felt a warmth grow inside her chest at such heartfelt words. I shot you, she tried to say. You're injured, and it's all my fault, friend. This is the least I can do. No, the woman insisted. No, I broke into your property and attacked your livestock. If anyone should be sorry, it should be me. Jaylen thinks of the dark mark of two sets of waves that the woman wears on her left scapula. The symbol, she knows, of the slaver coastal king who rules the West with an iron fist. The man who she'd only seen in dreams, having grown wary from the tales spoken by Aridin and the other girls who'd come to her. About cold masters and burning metal, heated to be placed onto squirming bodies to forever mark their skins as what they were now, property. Chattel. Livestock. Jaylen thinks of this and fights back angry tears. She holds the woman's hands tightly between hers. I am sorry that you had to go through that such wretched people exist in the world with us. That not everyone was as kind to you as they should have been. Because you're supposed to be kind to everyone, even those who steal from you. The woman chuckles slightly, with that sharp humor that hadn't been beaten out of her no matter how many times Dulskar had tried to. Is that why you took me in? She asks. Yes, Jaylen replied. Because only the desperate steal. Because they're the ones who got nothing left to lose. That's why I don't keep my farmland fenced. So anyone who walks through these lands of mine can grab a cob of corn or two to bring to their family. Why, I never care to face the thieves unless it's become a more regular occurrence. It's the way things should be, because this way everyone can have something, especially those who need very little. You give away most of your crops, the woman realized. Of course I do, Jaylen continued. I have so much I couldn't keep all of it even if I wanted to. I only keep enough to last me and my family during the winter if they come to see me. Enough to feed my cows and sheep, but outside of it, well. Everything else is free to take, I think, so long as you give something in return. That's how it works, you see. That's why this part of the valley hadn't seen strife in over 36 years. I wish the rest of the valley was like that, the woman mumbled. Dulskar, he takes women and children and men. And anything he could get his hungry, ravenous hands onto with no care, no empathy, just a complete and utter disregard for human life. He's a sick man, Jaylen. He's a sick man, and the things he did to me, shoosh, dear, Jaylen said. You do not have to tell me. If you don't want to speak about it, I do not have to know. But don't you have any questions? The woman insisted. Don't you want to learn how I ended up in here? The reasons I'm not like this. She gestured to herself, an undead. A creature of the netherworld, a monster. Jaylen simply gave her a soft smile, moving her hand to touch the woman's cheek. She'd been so gaunt when she got here, but little by little she'd been getting plumper and more round with each passing week. Oh, dear, you're none of those things, all right, I'll have you know. That's what a lot of people have said about me, too, once upon a time, and none of them were telling the truth. What do you mean, the woman asked. She couldn't understand how anyone could say such god-awful things to someone as sweet and welcoming as her Jaylen. Well, let's just say I wasn't always the woman I was today, she explained, and some people took great issue with that. As to what you got between your legs determines everything about you. It does not, you see, it's this, she said, while pointing between her ribs at the center of her chest. What determines a person? Some people have a dark and shriveled place where their heart should be. People like Dulskar who go around spreading nothing but misery, but everyone else, well. Everyone else's heart keeps beating. It gets them through so much that it leaves you thinking, well, now that person is strong. Am I strong? The woman asked. Because I don't feel strong, Jaylen. I don't feel strong at all. What do you feel then, friend? I feel used, unwhole, like a victim. Like someone grabbed everything that was me and slowly stripped it away from my body until I'm now only bones. Jade Lynn's own heart ached again. Well, let's get some more meat onto those bones of yours, all right? What once held something can hold something again, even if you think it's empty now. You just need time and help and love, and luckily for you, dear, I have all of those in spades. The woman laughed. For the longest time, she thought she'd never laugh again. But Jade Lynn was so vibrant that he couldn't help but laugh. "You can't be that old," she said. "You don't look old." "That's because a good sense of humor and a healthy spirit keeps you young," Jade Lynn told her, as though she was revealing a secret. "So just stay with me for a while, and you'll feel young again as well." "I am staying," the woman said. "Mainly because I have nowhere else to go. I used to have a son, but I don't know where he is now." "Oh, he'll come back to you," Jade Lynn was sure of it. "Children have a way to keep stumbling back into their parents' lap regardless of what happens. Just stay put and who knows? Maybe one day he'll show up knocking at my door." "Maybe," the woman said, hopeful. She'd been blessed with a miracle already, so why not two? "You had a child," Jade Lynn said, because this was something she had wondered about. "So did you have a name too?" "Sorry for not having asked this before, but I couldn't find a way to." "Maria Dolores," the woman replied. "But before, my friends used to call me Lola." "They were friends now, and so Jade Lynn called her that. Living with Lola was nice. It was calm. Once she regained some of her strength, she was happy to help around, sweep the floors, mend torn clothes, that sort of thing. Jade Lynn felt strange, but only because the one who usually did such chores was her. She'd had partners in her life, housemates as well. Most of them had preferred to be burned by the sun while they worked the fields, drops of sweat rolling down their temples as they gritted their teeth and continued to push the plow. None of them had been happy to stay inside and cut slices of oranges to bring to Jade Lynn. It was nice. Very nice. Lola could stand in the sun, which lent more credence to the not-a-vampire theory. She rejoiced in it even, seemed to bloom when exposed to the warm light. Her healing factor kicked in at double the speed when allowed to stay outside, and so Jade Lynn had taken out the old rocking chair she had in the barn to bring it to her. Lola sat in it, embroidering. It's the thing she liked to do the most, it seemed. She'd been marveled by all the colorful threads that Jade Lynn was able to produce with all her natural dyes. She loved the soft wool from her herds, the kind eyes of the animals that leaned into you occasionally, curious, trusting. "I can't believe I nearly killed one of them that one time," Lola said. "I would have felt consumed by guilt." Lola still craved blood. There was no way around it, but she was too attached to the animals in the farm. She'd given them all names, the way Jade and Laura did when they were little, and that Jade Lynn could never remember. Dolores had crafted little tags with the leather that Jade Lynn had put to dry, and she'd written all their individual monikers onto each one of them, so her friend would never forget. It had been stinking cute, damn it. Jade Lynn was smitten, all right. Out of nowhere, she'd acquired a young damsel who was acting like her wife, looking up at her with her hair held back with a bandana, smiling at her whenever she entered the house, soaked in sweat and with boots covered in mud. Jade Lynn felt stupid. She was too old to be having crushes. Especially crushes on someone who was as vulnerable as Dolores, but she couldn't help it. Lola was so wonderful and gentle, so witty and amazing. It made her want to call D.S. and Dave to her land so they could orchestrate a way to assassinate Dual Scar for daring to lay a finger on such a precious person. Lola stared at Jade Lynn, too, whenever Jade Lynn wasn't looking. She was there to help her take her coat off. Lola even stayed back holding the piece of clothing. She pressed the neck of it to her nose and took a sniff, inundated by a yearning that couldn't seem to be qualmed by anything. Lola craved blood, though. Was her lust for Jade Lynn because of her kindness toward her, or was it because of the red-hot liquid coursing through her veins? Lola didn't know. Lola was too afraid to ask. Still, she laid with Jade Lynn in bed sometimes. When it was a Sunday morning in the world after the apocalypse, neither of them needing to do anything, at least not yet. Jade Lynn slept, and Lola just stared at her. At her aquiline nose, at the angles of her jaw, at the long, long hair falling from her scalp like waves of gunmetal gray and snow white. At how peaceful she looked, as alive and gorgeous as the garden she kept. Lola's fangs extended, and once again, she craved. She craved so hard it made her nauseous. Dolores craved blood and meat, so Jade Lynn got them for her. Once a week, she went near the start of the mountains with her rifle alongside Beck the Fifth, and she stayed there until she caught something. She hauled the carcass with her back in a trolley. She grabbed the deer by the antlers, taking care of it and bleeding it out onto a bucket that she then presented Lola with because she still refused to drink the blood of any member of their family, as she called the animals. And Jade Lynn would always respect Lola's preferences. Not only that, but Jade Lynn also gave Lola another bouquet of wildflowers. Lola didn't know which one of the two she was more excited to receive, but she knew she was always looking forward to both. Aridan and Laura arrived one day, surprised at meeting the new woman attached to their adopted grandma, but Lola had welcomed them warmly, presenting them with the loaf of barley sourdough she'd made. It was Jade Lynn's favorite, but she rarely found the time to make it herself. Harry and Laura just exchanged a look, an unspoken conversation taking place. The visit was short, but it left Jade Lynn feeling pleased, Lola even more so. For months she'd been dreading meeting Jade Lynn's family, worried that they'd think she wouldn't make a proper companion for their matriarch, but oh, Harry and Laura had liked her. They'd liked her. "There's nothing about you not to like," the old woman said. And Lola just stared at her, at the smile of fondness she had in her face, the twinkle of mischief in her eyes alongside her lifelines, at her broad arms and shoulders. Lola could simply take it no more. With the same velocity she'd chased this woman once before, she ran towards her again, this time to smash her lips against her own. Jade Lynn was surprised once again. It had been, more than a decade since anyone had kissed her, and no one had ever kissed her quite like this. Wildly. Like she was the land itself which they'd fallen in love with. She slid her hand against Lola's waist, pressing herself closer to her. And the two continued to kiss until the moon came with the night sky. Dating Lola is not that different from living with her, all things considered. They do a lot of the same stuff they did before. Although now Dolores feels strong enough to go work the fields alongside her partner, it's nice, domestic. It warms Jade Lynn's heart like there was a piece of herself that she was missing. Lola's more anxious. She tries to tell her beloved what dual scar did to her. The long, convoluted process of experiments that turned her into this thing, but she can't. Whenever she tries, the words just die in her mouth. A year goes by. It's a happy year. Happier than either of them had experienced in a long time. DS and Jade drop by, bringing news of a man leading a burgeoning religious movement of some kind. Asking about a woman similar to Lola. She's his mother, he insists. She was separated from his group after they had a run-in with the Coast Vulture Caravan some 5 or so years ago. The sun is still looking for her, they say. Has never stopped looking for her. Lola drops the plate she was holding. At night, In the arms of Jadelyn, she finally speaks the truth. We were peaceful spiritualists on an endless pilgrimage. We wanted to spread kindness and wonder and joy. And so we made an easy target. He grabbed the man, was going to grab the women and children too, so me and a few of us. We made a deal with him. Our lives and eternal servitude for their freedom. Dual Scar took the deal. He'd taken blood readings of everyone, some weird kind of theory he had going on. About the best way one could push humanity to reach the final stage of perfect evolution. He'd wanted Dolores specifically, and so Dolores had gone with him. To spare the life of her adolescent child. Jadelyn listens to this while Lola cries and cries like a constant downpour. The years and years of torture breaking out of her now that she's safe here beside her love. Signless, Lola said. My son. He'll come here, Jadelyn said to her. You've heard Jaden Diaz, he'll get here eventually. You just have to stay put. Will you let me stay here? Till he comes? Yes. You can stay here for the rest of forever if that's what you want. Lola smiles between the tears. Yes, Jadelyn, I think I want to. I think I've never wanted anything more in my entire life than to stay eternally by your side.
The Homestuck Fan Author Coalition is a place for authors to write, brainstorm, discuss, and collaborate. Link available in description. Suburban Jungle by Michael Guy Bowman. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find links to other stories that I've read, my Discord server, and various ways to support me. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.